The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth Domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Phil Lomas, the founder of Naturescape.Earth, which is a multimedia website that features nature videos and photos from Phil, who is a renowned Australian cinematographer and photographer. And Phil, how are you doing today?
I'm really good, thanks, Matt. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. And before we talk about Naturescape.Earth, if you don't mind, tell us a bit more about your background as a photographer and cinematographer.
Well, Matt, I started way back in the dark ages. I don't mention it too often, but around 1970 as a studio cameraman at NBN Television in Newcastle. That's about 100K north of Sydney. And then got sucked into the Sydney mainstream to mostly work on commercials for the commercial networks and national broadcaster. But that was sort of pretty much the days of pre-specialism when you did a little bit of everything. Like in those days at NBN, you had the opportunity to do news camera, film editing, set design, photo processing. Just as an example, on camera you'd do anything from serial drama and light entertainment to documentary and sport. So you were given a good grounding in everything and had a bit of a time to develop your specialties. So, yeah, it was a good time. But as far apart as they were, I developed a bit of a reputation for music video and, would you believe, following golf balls during sports or golf tournaments. So music was big in the 70s, so I did a lot of concerts and, you know, there were a lot of international concerts like Santana and Cleese, the Everlys, even Kiss, Van Morrison, and a lot of Australian bands, you know, like INXS, Midnight Oil. So it was a great time, and obviously there's not too much connection with golf balls, but that certainly became an asset when I started shooting wildlife. So I'd always had a passion for nature and really felt, you know, natural history and documentaries would be my calling somehow one day. So that's where I wanted to be. There wasn't too much happening in those days. So unfortunately, you tended to be categorised by reputation, sort of pigeonholed, I guess. So my defining NBN asked me to come back to co-produce and direct a little local wildlife series called Beating Around the Bush. So a mate of mine, Beat, where the name came from, we'd produced a little short film, and now the snake, when we did an assignment way back in the NBN days. So that was the connector, and we ended up winning a Logie Award, you know, for the series. So that really started my path to wildlife. Logies are sort of like, it's a very, very small version of your Emmy Award. So, yeah, it was quite big at the time. So, yeah, that was our claim to fame. But as I said, there was a little opportunity for that then. So in the 80s, I took a break and jumped on a 76-foot schooner and sailed through the Great Barrier Reef for 6 months. And that was literally what really sort of sold me on nature. It was just magnificent. So I remember describing it as like jumping into a postcard, you know, that first dive. It was just surreal. So, yeah, that more or less sealed my path and destiny, I guess. But more on a good hunch than any good planning on my part, I escaped Sydney in mid-80s and moved up to the Gold Coast, which is about 1,000 kilometres north of Sydney. We wanted to, myself and Barbara, my wife, wanted a more natural environment for our kids. So, and it was the best move we ever made because a short time after that, you know, I managed to pull the first real big international wildlife series with Olivia Newton-John's wildlife series, actually called Wildlife. So it was a local production distributed, you know, to Discovery and Learning channels. We did 42 mini docos around the world, from polar bears in the Arctic, the cheetah and rhino in Africa, and even down to snails in the UK, and would you believe rats in New York? So loving animals, it was like a dream come true, and getting up close with cobra and orangutan and golden eagles, I loved it. So there were a few other highlights in between. You know, Naturescape did its first major doco called Kingfisher, which was an eco-sport fishing adventure. That was, what, early 90s? A couple of world trips doing Beyond 2000, which you've probably seen over there, the science and technology program. A couple of docos in China. And one of the highlights was I did a shoot on flying foxes with Marco Polo and ZDF in Germany for about 15 months. So that was a solo job where I just went out and shot and directed it and sent the footage over to Germany for editing. And the real bonus with that was that it gave me the opportunity to spend 15 months with this wonderful Aboriginal man, you know, Runga Dungir, who I became really close mate with. Yeah, so it was a really good opportunity, you know, just to connect with your you know, and with the Aboriginal way of life, and get a little closer look at an understanding of their dreaming and stuff like that. So, yeah, but wildlife was the ants' pants. That was my dream job and probably the highlight of my life. So it's been a long and winding road, I guess, through the media evolution. You know, when I first started, that was back in, like, basically the pioneering days of television here, you know, black and white television, and it had only been going for about 10 years or so when I joined it. And so you've seen the whole lot, you know, evolve from, you know, portable video cameras came much later, then digital and high definition, the internet, mobile phones, and, you know, now virtual reality almost beamed from the edge of the solar system. So it's been a good journey. Yeah, so, but I wish I was starting over again. It's even more exciting now, I think.
That's amazing, Phil. You have quite a background there. My goodness, from rock and roll to nature to the Great Barrier Reef. That's unbelievable. And if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about your site, naturescape.earth, and the types of work that you're showcasing these days.
Well, I guess Naturescape is sort of like, yeah, it's been a lucky life, man. But I guess Naturescape is just a product of all of that. It sort of came to me, and I did the Sydney Olympics in 2000. I sort of like, you know, have two lives, you know, one my wildlife side and one my standard, you know, bread and butter side. This was from my bread and butter side, but yeah, it sort of like, yeah, created a few new paths, if you like. But yeah, I was lucky enough to secure a position with your lead director, Bud Greenspan, and his team to shoot the official IOC film with the games. And it was just inspiring, a massive flashback through your own life and times in real time. But a long story short anyway is that it also showcased how much Australia had changed in such a short time. And for me, probably, you know, through blinkered and biased eyes, it raised concern for the future of our wilderness and wildlife. And Australia doesn't have a record as far as conservation is concerned. And with what I've been fortunate to have seen and done, you know, sort of like especially through wildlife and seeing what else is doing, you know, throughout the world, I guess I felt motivated just to increase my effort to promote environmental awareness and conservation, you know. So at that same time, high definition arrived in Australia, and I attracted a very like-minded and generous mentor in a guy called Ian Bates and his ProCam production company in Brisbane. Ian decided, for whatever reason, he'd supplied me with all the facilities to produce the media I needed. And at the time, we didn't exactly know what that product would be or how it'd be used. But HD was a massive jump in quality, and as it was touted as the future-proof format, you know, we decided let's just collect footage and see where it all heads, you know. It was very early days, you know, I guess pre-2000 was probably pre-internet in reality, and a lot of technology has happened sort of since then. So we didn't know where we're headed, but we just sort of thought you've got to have the content, so let's just get that and see where it all goes. And that's what I decided to call Eco Media. I guess as we've seen what's happened over that same time frame, there was development in all facets of media production and technology, and so expansive uses and applications and personal preferences for different multimedia. So it all merged into one big hybridized, you know, roller coaster, if you like. Multimedia was once, you know, exclusive to the industry, but now you found it everywhere, you know, home, workplace, you know, business, corporate boardrooms, street level, you know. That's obvious mainstream uses in advertising and promotion, but from my perspective, it was useful in eco-promotion. So yeah, where I'm going with all of that, out of this whole mix of seeing, being at the Olympics, see where it's headed, high definition, suddenly here was this opportunity, I guess, and to start creating all of these products, you know, to promote conservation. So basically what I've got on the website now is a product of all of that. I went out and, you know, I suppose I've been shooting high definition for 15 years, so all the footage that I'd collected in that time I'm now processing into various forms of multimedia to cater for this new demand of vision and that from home to corporate boardroom. So, yeah, that's basically what it is.
Outstanding. What a great site. And there's just so much going on. Lots of great stuff here. And in fact, on your site itself, one of the sections is eco.media. Tell us a little bit more about that part. I guess it's a media guide, that part of your site.
I guess I've always, you know, dared to be different, if you like. And what I found is that as a result of all of that big pot, I had to differentiate between, you know, media in its all of its different forms and terms into what I was actually doing. So Eco Media was a product of that. It actually wasn't the first, but Eco Decor was more the product that I came up with. Eco Media was more a generic term for it. But it really came about, you know, through mishap. You know, the biggest problem, if you call it that, was I loved shooting. So I loved getting out into the world and see just me and the camera and just immersing myself in where I love being most. You know, the problem, though, that is if you're shooting so much, there's not much time to process the footage you collect. So there's very little time spent on making content. The other issue was that as a mad shooter, I've never really had the time to learn the post-production skills you need to hands-on produce professional content. So fortunately, or unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, I had a few health issues in around 2010 that basically ended my shooting days. So the benefit of that was that it gave me plenty of time to think and ponder what to do next with all of this footage. So I decided the oldish fella had a little bit of time left in him and so I needed to reinvent myself. So if I was going to tell stories and with pictures my way, I needed to learn those production skills, you know, how to put it all together. So for the next few years, I just welded myself to the internet to learn high-definition editing, you know, sort of on an adrenaline suite and photo enhancement, and that was, you know, with DSLR images that are also shot at the same time and also, you know, post-process, you know, frames from the high-definition vision. So I learned that and plus graphic production and web design and locked myself in the cave, you know, for a few years. And also this, you know, social media, which was just starting to happen at the time, you know, like in a biggish way anyway. So over its course, I found this whole new world sitting out there, you know, literally at my fingertips. It's just like a great few years where, you know, all of a sudden all of these things that I never imagined even existed, you know, were just there and they were free and, you know, you could just totally immerse yourself in this whole new world. So I just wish I'd done it a few years earlier than that. So Eco Decor and then Eco Media came somewhere out of that, you know. I don't think there was any particular moment of clarity. It just gradually evolved. So I'd always seen my job as just like any other trade, you know, whether you're a carpenter or a mechanic or a builder or whatever, but just with different tools and, you know, namely cameras. So aside from, you know, your wedding and baby portraits, you know, photography and especially video, you know, they've always been seen as a bit beyond the everyday, you know, and exclusive to that box, you know. So, you know, not of any particular use as an everyday product or service, but I felt it was, you know, a bit differently. Essentially, I felt the ordinary community had just as much need and demand for visual media or art as they did for any other service. And one, that's if they could be shown how it could be practically used, and two, if it was affordable for them. So I decided to tailor my Eco Media into Eco Decor using visual art for interior decoration. So again, it could be in form of video, like ambient video, you know, not necessarily with narration or commentary or slideshow, you know, for that smart screen, you know, that spends most of its time as a black hole in most people's living rooms. Of course, everybody knows the uses for photography as prints, and, you know, that was my reborn passion doing photography again. But the smart screen is the new picture frame. So now, you know, and they're as cheap as the picture frames of old, sometimes cheaper. So here was a new way of custom making your media into this new product, and it could be all delivered by the internet, streamed, slideshow streamed, et cetera, et cetera. There was also, you know, I discovered printing advances that meant you could print pictures to wall size, you know, you combine screens with prints and atomic stroke digital feature walls and have video projectors, sound to create the natural atmosphere. So, you know, here was a way where you could, you know, combine all of this media into interior decorations. And, of course, there's a long tail of photo art and eco decor installations, you know, that are suitable for, like, home living to, you know, corporate boardrooms. So Eco Decor, you know, really encompassed all of those multimedia variations and the display applications you can find right across the community. I guess the big bonus for me was that where I found it most useful, here was a way to presence of nature, you know, promote appreciation for the world around us, like directly, you know, direct to the consumer, the people that could make a difference. So I think people are so busy with everyday life these days, have so many distractions, they don't have time to smell the roses, you know. see yeah. instead of looking at that which is normally just outside their front door. So people tend to put, you know, the environment on the back burner these days. So EcoDeco was a messenger that could virtually, you know, bring that nature back home, into home and community, you know, bring the mountain to Muhammad, if you like. In a bit of a play on words, you could grow your own nature space wherever you wanted.
Yeah, wow, that's great. What awesome stuff there. And naturescape.earth is a .earth domain website. Tell us about why you chose to use .earth as your website domain.
Yeah, and proudly so. Yeah, it was a great discovery, you know, when .earth was first released, you know. And I've thought about it quite a bit. It's, I guess the attraction for me is that Naturescape was just a word, you know. Like I quite often got a lot of inquiries about, oh, yeah, well, you come and build me a rock wall or stuff like that, because they saw it as a landscaping business. So, and I guess .earth didn't change it much. But for me, it sort of like added a descriptor that gives it a little bit more meaning. So I often say, if you see Naturescape as a tree and .earth as its roots, it's sort of like the tree's just above the ground, but .earth gave it its roots, so it became a whole tree. It sort of makes it more down to earth and gives it the mortar that fuses all of Naturescape's elements into a singular vision, you know. So, yeah, that's how I felt that it worked for me, and it tied everything together. And, in fact, you know, a lot of the time, whereas Naturescape is my company branding name, if you like, I quite often find that I'm using Naturescape Earth a lot more often for its brand, because basically it's, you know, if you're putting together a graphic, for example, basically you start to get, yeah, the company name Naturescape, the URL, you know, naturescape.earth, etc. So now I'm finding that I use Naturescape Earth just by itself. You know, the added attraction for me, of course, is, and honestly, it wasn't the main one, but it was just a bit of a bonus, was a paid homage to my hero, David Attenborough, you know, or Sir David Attenborough. It wasn't the sort of deciding factor, but an added bonus. Like, I reckon that he's the most important natural historian since Darwin, so, and he's done more than anyone to promote, you know, conservation and education, you know, for kids and stuff like that. You know, he's just a legend. So that was a bit of a bonus for me too.
Wow. That's excellent. Wow, what a great response there. Thank you so much for those insights there, and a lot to consume there. You know, the Naturescape Earth, that's the way you represent the brand when you talk to people. And also, too, you talk about naturescape.earth with kind of Earth being kind of the foundation. That's really great stuff. And speaking of the naturescape.earth website, what does the future hold for you?
Too much work there, Matt. As I said, I've got a couple of decades of footage, just footage alone, but I've got all my other stuff as well with the wildlife stories. And I've managed to, you know, which is sort of like, in hindsight, probably accidental, but, you know, it's a great thing. I've managed to collect a lot of the stuff that I've done over the years, you know, from way back to being around the bush, you know, to through the wildlife, and obviously all the HD footage I've got now. So I've only really just begun to sort of tap into that, you know, in my post-production role to start being able to publish it and post it. So yeah, more of the same, more of the pictures, more and more pictures. And the thing is too, is I'm in a lot of cases, merely because of the way, you know, I guess life has panned out, I'm still working with stuff that I shot 15 years ago. So I'm really keen, you know, diving into the internet, you know, for the last few years, and just discovering all these brilliant creative apps that, you know, that are out there. These, that's obviously, you know, spawned a lot of new ideas, especially for art. I'm particularly sort of big on still photography these days. And yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, and I'd love to get more into the digital art, you know, obviously, you know, nature based and nature themed. So that's one of the big things I want to pursue, get all the old stuff out of the way and get into some new stuff. So, but eco decor, that's, I'd just love to see, you know, conceptually that is accepted by people and start seeing more places, you know, instead of putting up corporate sort of like signage and graphics, you know, and all that stuff, you know, putting up nature, you know, and just promoting nature and really driving a little bit more appreciation of it, especially for the kids in the household. So there's lots of new ideas, you know, big picture collage and more digital art, as I said. But I also I love playing with pictures, but I also love playing with words. So one of the big things I want to do is really put all of this down into the written word, or the modern equivalent of the written word on them. so that it's all digital and, you know, embossed with the content I've collected over the years. So that's one thing. I often joke I'm going to have to live to 150, but, yeah, I'll be trying my hardest. One of the major things, and it's a big thing, you've probably seen it mentioned on naturescape.earth, I might add, is Eco Conservancy, which a program I guess everybody wants to be. And, you know, when I've got I've designed myself such a big mission, one of the big things is this Eco Conservancy, where kids and students, you know, can freely source my material to produce their own little eco projects, you know, get youngsters interested in conservation again. I think we've lost that a little bit. There's too many distractions these days. So I'd like to, you know, sort of like really try and get the kids, and by offering them free stuff, and I guess brainwashing them, if you want to put it that way. And I think the way to do it is, you know, there's a lot of belief that, you know, sort of kids' personal devices, you know, iPads and phones and stuff like that, and social media has taken them away from it. But I really believe that you can get that to draw them back into nature. So that's one big thing that I'd like to explore as well. So I guess everything comes back to my passion for wilderness and wildlife and the natural world. And so, you know, if there could be one legacy when I get to my 150-year timeline, it would be that, I've got kids back interested in natural history.
Oh, that's great. You know, that's actually like a perfect way to end this podcast interview here today. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Phil Lomas, the founder of Naturescape.Earth, which is a multimedia website that features nature videos and photos from Phil. And as you heard, Phil is a renowned Australian cinematographer and photographer with a deep background in the photography and cinematographic industry. And he's also a true fan and advocate for nature. And Phil, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure there, Matt. Yeah, it's been lovely talking with you. And yeah, let's hope we can all do what we hope to do.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.